Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What is up, everyone? This is your good friend Patrick O'Dowd welcoming you in to another edition of the Four Corners Podcast. Four Corners Podcast is brought to you as part of the Chair Shot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. And I think I got too many tabs open because my shit is not moving very well, Dave. That's right. I am joined by David Ungar, the lawyer himself, my good friend. I'm willing to bet it's the website I have in front of me that I need for the show that is causing the problem.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like when you've got too much stuff open that these things tend to go a little bit interesting. But yeah, and we're still getting the hang of the new recording studios, which I have discovered when we first did it. It was like we had to switch from Edge to Chrome, but now I'm like, no, we need to stay on. Like Chrome buffer. Anyway, people don't care about all this techno babble. But anyway, how are you doing, man?
Supposed to be on Edge. I'm good. I'm as good as can be expected. As we will get into it when we talk college football today. It was not a great day for the University of Illinois Fighting Illini yesterday. As we were recording this on Sunday, days ago, Saturday. What? Oh, didn't look like it. Yeah, it did not. It was a rough watch seeing your team get exposed as a fraud, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But anyway, this is of course the Four Corners Podcast here, a part of the Chairshot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com. Patrick O'Dowd, David Ungar, head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot for all of your sweet, sweet Chairshot swag needs. We are going to talk a little MLB as there is 1 week We are in the last week of the regular season as this podcast is dropping, which means that we got some finishing up to do with some standings. Some teams are in good shape. I'm going to say this. I think there are too many teams in the playoff hunt for Major League Baseball. I actually think it's too big.
Really?
Yes. And here's why. We'll start on the National League side of things because the National League is far more settled going into this week than the American League, as the Brewers, the Phillies, the Dodgers, and the Cubs have all clinched playoff spots. Milwaukee looks like it is going to finish off. It has finished off. The math is there. Milwaukee has clinched the Central. Philadelphia has clinched the East. The Dodgers technically could lose out, and that would somehow miraculously maybe catapult the Padres into taking the division, the Dodgers, and the wild card. But I highly doubt it because they have a 4-game lead as of Sunday with less than a week to go. And that just doesn't, there's no time. There's no time for a late winning streak. And the most intriguing wild card spot left, because the Padres are up 4 in the wild card race. So they feel pretty solidly in. They're up 4 on the Mets. They're down 4 on the Dodgers. They're in. They're solidly in. But you have the New York Mets, team of the we bought the most expensive payroll we possibly could get to try and win a division. And lo and behold, the Phillies won the division. And the Cincinnati Reds, which do not spend a ton of money, but just play really hard. And I'm looking at these two teams, and the Mets are currently 80-75. So you are 5 games over .500. And the Reds are 79-76, 3 games over .500. Those are not inspiring teams. Now, the Arizona Diamondbacks are still in this race. The San Francisco Giants are still in this race by math here on Sunday. But for all intents and purposes, I think this is really a New York Mets Cincinnati Reds race, one team being a game behind the other. And yet neither of these,
your Cardinals are still alive.
Yes, let's not kid ourselves here. They're eliminated from the playoff consideration. Like, it's 75-81. If the Cardinals were to somehow rattle off 7 wins in a row as of Sunday to go 82-82 and somehow leapfrog the Giants, Reds, Diamondbacks, Giants, and Marlins, more power to you, but give me a break. Just one or two more losses and this is all settled and we can go to bed. And we can just call it what it is. That is a done season. Does the Mets payroll and underperformance, 4-6 in their last 10 games, do enough? Or do the Cincinnati Reds, who are currently winners of their last 4 as of Sunday, 6-4 in their last 10 as of last Sunday, do they get it done? Or, I guess, the Arizona Diamondbacks, can they find a way to get a few up on them and make the playoffs? The D-backs last year, who were an exciting team, I thought would be in this conversation. I have no answer because I checked out of baseball so hard when the Cardinals were clearly not going to be good. I've known that the Brewers seemed to be the team that hit a little lull, like a couple weeks ago. They hit a little lull and folks were starting to doubt on them. The Cubs made a little run before it all sort of fell apart. The Cubs are losers of their last 3, but I don't know. I tend to go with the payroll.
So let's see. I'm going to look at this thing from the standpoint of the schedule and kind of see, like, you know. So the Mets start a series with the Cubs, which normally I'd say that doesn't bode well for the Mets. But like you said, the Cubs are kind of like staggering. They've already clinched the playoff spot. They already clinched the wild card. I'm not sure they have a whole lot to play for. The Reds are playing the Pirates. And with the exception of the game that Skeens will probably start, that should be a series win for Cincinnati. You've got the Diamondbacks who are taking on the Dodgers, who, as long as they're still fighting for the division title, you know the Dodgers are going to play. They are playing at home. So out of that, I'm saying advantage Reds, just off of the schedule and how that works out. Let's see how these guys close up with. So the Mets then, I think they close with the Marlins, which, okay.
The Reds close with the Brewers,
which is not good. But the Brewers, again, what do they have to play for at this point, right? The Diamondbacks close with the Padres, who may still be fighting for home field advantage in the wild card. So that's, you know, honestly, looking at the schedule right now, I like the Reds, man. I think, you know, they're playing the Pirates, who they can beat. Other than that one, and Skeens is beatable sometimes, but more often than not, and he's not. I like them going against Pittsburgh is good. Going to Milwaukee to close the season would normally not be so great. But again, what the hell do the Brewers have to play for at this point, right? I mean, if you're fighting for home field throughout, and I don't know if they will be, then maybe that's a different story. But I like Cincinnati, and the Mets have been so underwhelming this year with all that payroll. You went out, you got Juan Soto, you did all this stuff. And they just have under-delivered so massively. I mean, I know a few people who are Mets fans, and they are just beside themselves with frustration over this team. You know, I tell you, man, the divisional races in the AL, though, I figure you wanted to kind of talk about that.
It's hilarious, though, because if you just look at the numbers, right? Like, technically, the Texas Rangers, the Kansas City Royals are still in the playoff, like in the wild card race. But are they? Because Texas is 5 back, Kansas City is 6 back. I feel like the 8 or the 7 teams are set, right? It's just a matter of who wins the division in both the Central and in the East. Because right now, Toronto's got a 2-game lead over the Yankees, a four-game lead over the Red Sox. So it's looking like it's Toronto seeing it through to the finish line over the Yankees. And then you've got Seattle, like Seattle is up, well, they're up 2 on Houston. Houston could still jump up and bite that. But like, it's all about positioning and buys. Like, it's, in my opinion, it's not compelling because the top 7 are pretty clearly the top 7 in Major League Baseball.
Yes and no, because you've got, you know, the Yankees are up 3, the Red Sox are up 1 in the
Cleveland's,
wild card.
Then
you
Cleveland's got back a game.
Cleveland and Houston right now are dead even for the last wild card spot. And Cleveland somehow, some way, is only a game back of Detroit. The Tigers, there's a team that seemingly had this thing on lock and has stumbled down the stretch.
Well, two different things, too. Cleveland is playing phenomenal baseball. They have won 10 in a row.
Yes.
And that has coincided with the Detroit Tigers losing 5 in a row. Like which happens, ask the 1969 Mets. Like, they pulled that off. Miracle Mets. But, you know, I'm sitting there looking at this. Yeah, but of these 7 teams are the ones that will be advancing. Like, of these 7 teams, these are the ones that will be advancing, right? And Houston and Cleveland.
Right. Yeah, there's
Cleveland.
Right. Like you're saying, we know the 7 teams who are fighting for what? 6 spots? Is that what they're doing basically?
Exactly.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Texas and KC are mathematically in there, but just everything possible would have to go right. Like for your Cardinals, everything would have to go right.
Everybody would have to lose except for the Cardinals.
Yes.
And let's just say that's the math ain't math in there. It's just not going to happen. Now, yeah, so I do think it's really interesting because I think the winner of the Central is the only member of the Central that gets in. I think the winner of the what? Because I think that one of those two teams will fall behind Houston. The thing that always scares me about the Houston Astros is once they're in, they're dangerous, and they seem to get in more often than not.
Once they're in, you can't get rid of them.
Right.
That's a problem.
I still don't know how the Boston Red Sox are in contention. Like, every time I watch the Boston Red Sox play out here, I'm like, how do these guys win games? They're not impressive. They have okay pitching. They can hit, as shown by their run differential. Like, they very much outscore teams. But I'm like, but how? And then the Yankees are just the Mets all over again. You know, biggest hitting roster that money can buy. Their pitching leaves a bit to be desired. But again, their run differential is massive. 138. It's the, you know, biggest in the American League.
Now, the Yankees have been playing pretty good ball down the stretch.
Yeah, 7-3.
Red Sox are just overachievers, excuse me. And
very much so. I think so,
yeah. What can you say, right?
You tip your cap. You tip your cap to a job well done, I suppose.
I will say that I don't mind the additional teams involved because you do get these compelling races down the stretch, and that makes good drama, good baseball, you know?
But here's my counter to that. These aren't good baseball teams, and it's the same argument for why I am adamantly against expansion to the NCAA basketball tournament. You know, 64 was a good number for the 300 teams that were in college basketball, you know, that are in college basketball, 300 and whatever. Talking to putting fully a third, which has been a conversation because of the revenue it will generate, kids, I fully agree that this is a money-based thing. I'm not a moron. I did go to public school, so I get that my education is suspect. But I also know how this works. I understand that the money involved is good for the NCAA. Sorry, I'm repositioning my camera a little bit because it's weird on my computer screen. But I don't, like, those teams get in, and I don't buy. Like, baseball, yeah, there's a little bit more of a variance, but I just don't buy that's good baseball. Like, those teams aren't. They're middling teams. We're rewarding mediocrity in Major League Baseball. It's dumb to me. You know, I don't need, and I say this as a guy whose favorite team one year won the World Series after only winning 84 or 85 games in the regular season. In 2004, the St. Louis Cardinals were not a great baseball team. They were a middling baseball team. And if you watch one of the worst World Series that you could possibly watch in the Detroit Tigers versus the St. Louis Cardinals in 2004. Woof. Or was it 6? 2006. Sorry. 04 was when we got swept by the Red Sox. 6 was when we made it back and beat the Detroit Tigers on just horrible hitting and uncharacteristic errors. Like, Detroit gifted us a World Series. So, not going to say it. So that's my thing. Is like, frankly, whoever this last wild card team in gets in both the American League and the National League, great. Good for you. Good for your little extra bit of revenue. And you don't deserve to be there because it's not good. And the parity in baseball it's not true parity when it's teams are fortunate to make it because you have to hit a quota. That's not parity. That's cash grab. So we will be talking about the playoff matchups next week, though, because we will have playoff matchups next week to discuss as we head into it. So I'm very much excited to look at those matchups a little bit more closely as teams start to clinch, as the bracket gets filled out. It's going to be terrific, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But what we're going to do when we come back, Dave, is not going to be fun for me, because we're going to talk about three teams that showed a lot as to why they should be considered college football playoff contenders, and three teams, well, at least two teams, that we got to minimally pump the brakes, if not outright bury them. And one of those teams is one I love. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, into the Four Corners Podcast here on the ChairShot Radio Network, a part of TheChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Make sure you head over to ProWrestlingTees.com. Get yourself a chair shot shirt. Get that swag. Help us keep going with this little network here. We love giving you this content. It's a great time. Dave, so yesterday I attended what is known as out here, I don't know if you've heard of this or you have them out there out in the West Coast. I attended what is known as a Jack and Jill party. Do you know what a Jack and Jill is? So a Jack and Jill party is a wedding fundraising sort of party put on by the bride and groom to help cover expenses for their wedding. And what you do is you buy a ticket to the Jack and Jill that usually gives you a bunch of raffle tickets. You put those raffle tickets into various buckets to try and win stuff. You can buy extra tickets. There's games to win extra tickets. And there's two things that happened at this Jack and Jill that left me a little despondent. One, There's always a trivia game, the guy who does this trivia is a DJ who does trivia at bars and stuff, and it's a lot of fun. It's like a game show style trivia. It's called speed quizzing, and I used to play this guy's trivia for years. He's the reason I won a trip to Vegas once and got to hang out with Greg DeMarco in Las Vegas before the pandemic. But the way this game works, it's three rounds: one round of general knowledge, a round of music trivia, and a final round of general knowledge that's a little more difficult. And I would come to this guy's trivia all the time. Oh, and then a final round, which was like the bonus question. And this is how my trivia experience always went when I did this guy's trivia. I would go, I would extend the lead. I would have three rounds where I am up And then we'd go into the final round where the question was a guess the number closest to the number. Didn't have to go over or under. You just had to get closest to the number. And whoever came closest to the number got like 50 or 100 bonus points. And so 9 times out of 10, you win trivia, but you lose because of the bonus round. And this is what happened to me once again. In the lead by a good 20 plus points. Didn't know the miles per hour difference between two different cars. Ergo, I didn't get the 50 points. Somebody else did, leapfrogged me for the victory, and I didn't get extra tickets. However, I did win in one of the raffle drawings a basket of whiskey. And that was nice. A big bottle of Knob Creek and a bunch of little nips. And then two engraved whiskey glasses that say "What a fucking day" in the bottom. And so might be using, oh, and some whiskey stones that I didn't realize were whiskey stones right away. I was like, what is this one bottle that's wrapped in foam? And I was like, oh, they're whiskey stones. Sweet. Throw those babies in the freezer and see what happens. Anyway, that was the best thing that happened to me on Saturday, because the first team we're going to talk about, two teams that played each other, ranked matchup, national television on Peacock, number 9 Illinois versus number 19 Indiana. It was this very much hyped up game. A lot of excitement out of Illinois. People starting to believe that this team might be a playoff-worthy team. A lot of people doubting Indiana, even though Indiana has time and again been beating the pants off of teams. And I sit down to watch this game, and I texted my dad right before. I was like, I don't think we're going to win this game. I don't feel good about this matchup. And I was like, I hope we don't get boat raced. 63, we got boat raced. And Illinois got exposed on every level of the game. Illinois, I'm just going to say it right here, University of Illinois, which has already dropped in the coaches poll to number 23 from number 9, dropped 14 points. They're going to drop.
Wow.
And they may not survive the AP poll, because the AP poll usually is a little more cognizant to what's going on. They may drop out of the AP poll entirely. 14 spots to number 23. They got dunked on. They had 6 defensive backs leave the game in some way, shape, or form. 5 due to injury, 1 due to a targeting penalty, which I still think is the dumbest thing ever, that no matter the intent or what happens with the targeting penalty, you get ejected if they uphold it. And the tackle, you know, if you want to argue it was targeting, I don't know what a guy's supposed to do in the situation. Receiver has caught the ball, is looking to make a move. The safety comes in, puts a shoulder into the guy's chest, drops the dude. It's a hard hit, and he gets flagged for targeting and gets ejected, targeting upheld. You can't hit somebody over the middle in football anymore. You have to go after their legs and tear ACLs. That's what they've done, because we become so scared of concussions. However, none of that mattered. Indiana was the better team. They were the better athletes. They were the better coach. Kurt Cignetti, I'm saying this on this podcast, and a lot of pundits in bigger podcasts than us will agree, Kurt Cignetti is easily the best college football coach right now. Like one of the best. He found every soft spot for Illinois and got him. Got him every time. But the most damning thing about that game for me was Illinois forces a 3-and-out, or gets forced into a 3-and-out on its opening drive, goes to punt the ball away. There is a substitution mishap. Indiana only has 10 players on their punt unit, blocks the fucking punt and gets an 11-yard scoop and score, 7-0 Indiana. Illinois responds with a long touchdown, 75 blown coverage, gets a touchdown, and you think, okay, we got a chance. And then Indiana got the ball and scored on 7 straight possessions. Game over. Like, it was brutal. It's awful. And Indiana is easily the 4th, if not the 3rd best team in the Big Ten. And they're going to get a chance to prove it, because they're going to play Penn State, who I think is also fraudulent. Like, I don't think that they're the team that everybody thinks they are. This is supposed to be Penn State's year, and I don't think they're going to be that. I think the only game that Indiana loses is to Oregon, who once again looks like the team to beat. Meanwhile, Illinois now has to go take on USC, which looks like a fucking, like, I don't know what secondary Illinois is going to have. And USC looks like they're going to make a case that, hey, maybe we're number 5 and trying to get back into relevancy and beating Illinois on Saturday on Big Noon kickoff. It's not looking good for the Illini, and their ceiling now looks like 8-4. And I think it's more realistic that they're going to go 7-5. It's a disappointment. Very, very upsetting.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I was really tied up yesterday. I actually went down to Anaheim just on my own for stuff yesterday and then came back. So I didn't catch much of, I caught some of the early morning stuff. And I don't know if that's one of the teams you want to talk about as far as fraudulent coaches on the hot seat.
No, we're not. Well, Clemson is cooked. And Dabo.
Well, we just got breaking news about Syracuse. That quarterback for Syracuse tore his ACL. So he's gone for the year. But came across literally the last 30 seconds.
That's terrible for Syracuse because that was a hell of a win. It was a big time win. You know, after struggling to beat UConn and having to run lines and being made fun of for doing that, that team responded to that and looked better than whatever. No, I think the only thing that's going to keep Dabo Swinney in that job is the fact that lifetime contract is expensive to get out of. And I think it was dumb for, I think it's dumb for any team to do a lifetime contract, but Clemson in particular. No, what I do want to do is I want to go to Utah, where Utah got mollywalloped by Texas Tech in what was another game that was supposed to be a close one. Texas Tech beats them 34-10. Suddenly the question of who's the best team in the Big 12 is starting to look like Texas Tech. They scored 24 points in the fourth quarter to win 34-10. It was a 10-10 tie at halftime. Nobody scored in the third quarter, and then Texas erupted. Utah looked a little exposed. I only think the Big 12 is going to get one team, and Texas Tech, if they keep this up, beat BYU, take care of some other Big 12 teams, they're going to be fine. And I think they're the team to look at in the Big 12. Utah's got to hope that, you know, they win out, and that an 11-1 record's good enough. And I don't know that it is.
Yeah, Texas Tech is seemingly slowly but surely have asserted themselves as the team to beat. Now, you know, anything can happen there. You know, you still got to deal with, well, no, Oklahoma's the SEC now. That's right. And Texas is as well. Never mind.
Yeah. That's the thing. So, yeah. The Big 12 is a weak conference. And Oklahoma State.
I'm still getting used to that, you know.
Right. And like, Oklahoma State, which was the only school that you used to look at as perennially a challenging team. Like that, no. that was the team that was supposed to take over the Big 12 when Oklahoma and Texas left. Mike Gundy, like, retire, bro. You need to retire because you're going to get fired if you don't. And it's sad to watch this great, what used to be a fun team, fun program to watch them lose. But you're a man, Mike. You're a man. You're 50. You're not 40 anymore, but you're a man. Be a man and step down. You need to do the right thing. No, the other game that I wanted to talk about, which was mired in controversy, and I feel a little bit for Hugh Freeze because the SEC had to come out and say, we fucked up. Auburn and Oklahoma. Oklahoma stays undefeated, legitimizes their number 11 ranking, wins by a touchdown. But Auburn fans have a reason to complain. I don't know if you've seen this, but Oklahoma scored a touchdown early in the second quarter on a trick play. And the trick play was a wide receiver running towards the sideline as if he was about to be subbed out. Threw off Auburn. He doesn't sub out. He stays on the field, runs down the sideline uncontested, hits a touchdown pass. Oklahoma, you know, wins by 7. So that touchdown, technically the difference in a game where Oklahoma wasn't really moving the ball very well. And the SEC came out after the game and released a statement that the officials missed that call. That should have been a penalty for something like deceptive behavior or something like that. Basically, you can't pretend like you're running off the field for a substitution, then stay on the field as a play. And it did exactly what it's supposed to do. But a win is a win. Oklahoma is now 4-0. They're going to move up into the top 10 of the polls along with Indiana. And Auburn, I think, should stay ranked because that was a competitive game that now you can really point to and be like, look, who knows what we would have actually had to happen in overtime if that touchdown doesn't get upheld. And so I think my third fraudulent team that I want to talk about is Oklahoma, because I don't think it's real. You know, I don't think it's real. I think that they're going to, and I haven't looked at their schedule to see who else they got, but I think that it's good that they got these wins, but, you know, I think Texas, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Alabama, they have a gauntlet starting October 11th. It's home against Texas, home against Ole Miss, then they go to Tennessee, they go to Alabama, they go to Missouri, they're home against Missouri and they're home against LSU. South Carolina's in there. They're kind of a dead team walking. I don't think Oklahoma's for real.
Well, you're going to find out. With that schedule, you're going to find out if they're real or not, you know, because if they can run that gauntlet, then they're real. And if
yeah,
not,
then they've earned it. Absolutely. And then my third team that's for real, we talked about them last week. I think it's even more so this week. Oregon. Man, Oregon's just, they just reload every year. They just reload. And every year we do this in the sports media world where we're like, I don't know, Oregon, I don't know. They lost a lot. They just reload. They just reload, and Dan Lanning gets them ready to go, and they win again.
You got to figure this year when they get to the playoffs, the seeding will be worked out a little bit more, so they Agreed. Won't have to take on Ohio State in the first, you know, first or right. second round sort of things. They should go farther. Yeah, I mean, Oregon just, they just do what they do, like you're saying. You know, they just it's like the Packers and their quarterback. You know, they just keep rolling in the next
Shut up, man.
Generational
talent. Why did
you
do that? Why did you do? You did that to poke the bear a little bit. Pun intended.
Tony's going to be stressing during BWN because they are not putting the Browns away right now. So
yeah, it's fine. They'll be okay.
But yeah, I think you're right. Oregon is going to be just a team that's going to. You know, they're going to be right there at the end with everybody else. And yeah, I don't know what's Oregon's schedule like. Probably a little bit more favorable.
They've got Indiana. I know that.
That'll be a test.
They'll have a couple of their West Coast teams. I think they have Washington in there somewhere. Washington's pretty good this year. That's the thing is, I think now we like recalibrating the Big Ten, and I actually don't know how far Illinois will fall. I think it's Oregon, Ohio State, Indiana, Penn State, USC, and then maybe Illinois. And even then, I'm doubtful. Right now, I'd put Michigan ahead of Illinois, but Michigan hasn't been particular. They did beat Nebraska, but Dylan Raiola is not Patrick Mahomes, no matter how much he makes his hair look like it. So you got Michigan and Illinois kind of there. Then you go into Iowa, Nebraska. It's going to be an interesting way. Michigan State's better than advertised. Purdue is not talented, but they're competent under Barry Odom. The only team that's a true dumpster fire, there's two teams that are true dumpster fire right now. One is UCLA. The other is Northwestern. It's interesting to see how this all plays out, but I think Oregon, Indiana, Ohio State, to me, those feel like the top three teams in the Big Ten. And I don't just say that because of the way Illinois got mollywalloped by Indiana. I think that when Indiana goes to play Penn State, they're going to beat Penn State. I think they're going to be competitive. Them and Oregon is going to be a fun, fun, fun game to watch because I think there's going to be a lot of scoring there. I think it's going to be a great time. So that's where I see all of this going. And then, of course, the SEC is the SEC. They really get going in earnest because they only play 8 conference games. So most of those conference games start up next week. A lot of cupcakes, though. You know, Florida tried to give Miami a scare for a little bit. Didn't work out for them, but at least they tried. So that job's open, Kurt. Think about that job, Kurt. You could be, dude, if you brought Florida football back to prominence, man alive. Though, if Alabama doesn't come through either, I'd watch out for Kalen DeBoer's to you know, buy out, be damned, get bought out, Cignetti come home. Because he was part of that Saban coaching staff. He was part of that Saban coaching tree. If that job opens up, I would be sweating if I'm Indiana. So, all right, Dave, thank you for letting me do most of the talking today. I appreciate you.
Sure, absolutely.
Let me get my college football woes off my chest.
Yeah, I just let you roll with that, buddy. That's okay.
I think I was relatively reserved. I think I was fair.
Yeah.
And I tweeted
this. Less despondent than I thought you'd be.
Well, here's the thing is, you go, like, that game was so brutal to watch that you went from mad to sad to just by the end of the game, I tweeted, I was like, at least I know they're not a college football playoff week 4, and I'm not having the rug pulled out from under me in some other way. Like, we know. So, as it is, we are a little over on time. We got some nerds waiting for us. Those of you who know, you know. So we're going to have to let y'all go on this week's edition of the Four Corners Podcast. Before we do, Dave, tell everybody where they can find you out there in the social media world. And
yeah, you can find me on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG, Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression. And that Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and on Threads.
And you can follow me on the social medias at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. You can catch me every Monday, Tuesdays, and occasional Wednesdays here on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Mondays talking nerdy stuff with Dave and a cavalcade of others. Tuesdays talking sports with Mr. Ungar. Sometimes some guests. Can I get Ray Cash on when we start talking NBA? That'll be fun. Maybe some pro football.
Hey, we got the NHL preseason starting
NHL
today.
NHL is preseason. Yes, indeed. That is also happening. And we know Ray's a big follower of that.
Yeah.
But Wednesdays, talking wrestling with Greg DeMarco when we feel like it. So give those a listen. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's edition of the Four Corners Podcast. Dave and I will be back next week to regale you all with the ins and outs around the sports world. This has been Four Corners Podcast here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, part of the ChairShot.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.